Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today. And don't go anywhere, especially if you want to change the world. You think that's a big promise? You think that's a big shoe to fill, or certainly a big goal in life? It is. But you know what? It happens with one person at a time. And one of those people is Adam Braun, who has made such a difference in the world. And it's such an exciting, inspiring, wonderful story. Yes, lots of hard work and all that good stuff. But certainly the most inspiring story, one of the most inspiring stories, certainly I have ever read, and I suspect it's going to be one of the most inspiring stories you have ever read. The book is The Promise of a Pencil, How an Ordinary Person Can Create Extraordinary Change. Adam Braun is the New York Times bestselling author and founder of Pencils of Promise, an award-winning organization that has broken ground on more than 200 schools around the world. In recent years, he has been named the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, Wired Magazine's 50 People Who Are Changing the World, that's impressive, and was selected one of the World Economic Forum's first 10 global shapers. He has been featured as a speaker at the White House, United Nations, and Clinton Global Initiative. And I am very pleased to welcome Adam Braun to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, this is a wonderful thing you have done. I mean, a lot of people do wonderful things. You have, you know, you set out with $25. You had, I mean, listen, let me give the backstory here. You know, you went to Brown University. You were raised in a nice, affluent society. You were going to be an investment banker. You did all the steps to get there. You got there, and there was something missing. There was something missing. There was this call inside of you kind of screaming, I need to do something a little more humanitarian, a little more important, something that matters, a little more than just paying my bills and living nicely. So this, you know, you set out to kind of make yourself slightly uncomfortable. As you say, you know, once you get out of your comfort zone, life starts. Well, you got out of your comfort zone and life started. But you took the initiative. You ran with this. And tell us how you started. Tell us how you got to that point. And tell me about your getting out of your comfort zone.
Sure. So as you mentioned, I was kind of on a fast track to a Wall Street career. I had started working at a hedge fund when I was 16. I was at a fund of funds when I was 19 and had a very nice life envisioned for myself as a banker, making a bunch of money. And then when I was 21, I went on a program called Semester at Sea. And I had seen a film that was shot all around the world, and I had just never been outside of my own little kind of bubble of the Northeast. I had traveled maybe a few times with my family, but I'd never been into the developing world. And so I just had this craving to see what else was out there. And on that first trip that I took, the ship that I was on was hit by a 60-foot rogue wave about 800 miles from land. And I had what can only be described as a certain death experience. I was sure I was perishing in the next hour. And fortunately, we survived. But when you go through something like that, it forces you to reassess your priorities. And you come to the very real recognition that at some point in time, you are not going to be here. Mm. And you start to evaluate what will. And you realize that your possessions, your physical materials will go away. All the stuff that I had previously prioritized. And the one thing that will remain is your legacy and the impact that you've had on the lives of others, which will carry forward, and ultimately the footprints that you leave behind. And so I became really committed to figuring out what that would be, my sense of purpose. And about a month later, I found myself in India. I had a habit of asking one child per country, what do you want most in the world? And I'd have them write it down on a piece of paper. And I thought I'd hear, you know, a house, a car, a boat, the stuff that I wanted.
Right, right.
And this street beggar, about probably 9-year-old boy, I asked him, if you could have anything in the world, what would you want? And his answer was a pencil. And I gave him my pencil, and he just lit up. And I realized he had never been to school before. And that sense of purpose began to really manifest. And I realized that maybe I could use my life as an instrument to impact something that I was passionate about, which was education for all, and decided that I would use real business acumen to try and solve for it. And so I went to work at Bain & Company, thought I'd still pursue a banking career, but pursue this passion on the side. And just before my 25th birthday, I just kind of got the itch to build one school and dedicate it to my grandmother, who was turning 80. And I knew it couldn't be that expensive because I had backpacked and spent a lot of time in the developing world living with communities. And so I knew the price points generally, and it turns out building a school was only about $25,000 through local participation and education ministry support and a whole bunch of other pieces of how we now work. And asked for donations in lieu of birthday presents, and that's ultimately what funded our very first school. And now it's about 5 years later. I obviously left my job at Bain to pursue this full-time, and the organization's built more than 200 schools, more than 20,000 students a day in our programs, and fortunately has won a lot of accolades and awards. And people came to me and started saying, Adam, I have this really big idea. I want to create a large impact or a small impact, but I have an idea and I don't know how to pursue it because I'm not famous, I'm not wealthy, and you certainly weren't when you started, so how did you do it? And I realized I just had all these tips and kind of tricks and lessons learned, and I wanted to put them into one place, and so that's when I decided to write this book, The Promise of a Pencil. Unfortunately, it's the response has just been overwhelming, and people seem to really be gaining tremendous value from it and recommending it to others with passion and conviction.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really has hit a nerve because people have this humanitarian feel now. We understand that this is the good news about being a global society, is that we see that we are very connected to other people and how different they have it than us, and that we can all need to give so we can all be the same, or we can all give to others to have the opportunities we have. You come from a family that your mother, I mean, you mentioned that your mother was big on community service, and that helped a lot. You mentioned your grandmother. She was a Holocaust victim. Did any of those things play into you? Because everybody wants to do something.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the people underestimate how big of an impact small actions make on children. And so, you know, I do a lot of reading and research on these types of areas. And one of the things that I read actually this weekend was just the importance of modeling behavior for young children, that you can tell a child over and over, I want you to do this, but ultimately it's actually way more impactful, just based on scientific data, for you to do the behavior yourself and then not even say anything to the child, because they learn from the actions of others. And my mom was always really involved in community service, and we just knew, wow, well, you know, on Sundays she goes and volunteers, or Thursday nights she goes to basically night counseling sessions for affected youth, or we're Jewish, and so on Halloween, since we were little kids, we actually didn't get eight nights, or sorry, on Hanukkah, we didn't get eight nights of gifts. We got four nights of gifts, and the other four nights we selected a charity, and they donated $25 in our name. And it wasn't the amount of money that they were giving, it was just the action. And so those types of things really, I think, seeped into the value system that were constructed for me as a child, and then eventually impacted a lot of the different decisions that I made down the line.
Do you think everybody, I know on your website, by the way, everybody, your website is on Shannon's Corner. There's a hot link to both of your websites. I know that you say that everybody has this in them. Do you think everybody has some of this in them somewhere, or everybody wants to do something bigger than what they're doing?
For sure, for sure. I mean, you know, when I speak about more than anything in the book, it's almost kind of the underlying thread, is this idea of individual purpose. Mm. And so if somebody reads the book, they're not going to come away saying, oh, I have to go donate to Pencils of Promise to make the world better.
Right.
What they're going to feel like is, I have to find my own sense of meaning and purpose. And maybe that, you know, is achieved at first by helping us build a school or providing a student scholarship. I mean, what I know for sure is if somebody gets involved in this organization, it will raise their level of personal meaning and significance and purpose, and helps them leave a tangible footprint behind, either through a school or a scholarship or a teacher trained. But ultimately, my goal is to get each person to feel the same way about something as I came to feel about this organization and the work that we do. Because I didn't feel that way for a while, and I was pursuing success instead. And our traditional definition of success in society is either fame or influence or money. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, from what I've seen, it's actually far more beneficial to pursue meaning. And then off of pursuit of meaning, you can achieve those three things. But the primary pursuit needs to be meaning. And I think that every single person has a profound purpose and a reason why they're here. And it's our jobs to discover what that is. And it often is found by getting out of your comfort zone and discovering not what you are, but who you are. And then you take these incremental steps forward. And a lot of them I detail in the chapters of the book.
The book is so easy to read. It is such a wonderful read. It's you know, and it's, as you said, it's inspiring. It takes you to a place where you say, I can do that. There's something calling inside of me. And you talk about that a lot, that screaming inside of us when we wake up in the middle of the night and we know that there's something else we have to do. And we can't quiet that voice. We need to listen to that voice and make a difference. And anybody who's made a difference like you have in giving, you realize that you get so much back from it. It's not, you know, it's not just about giving. It's also about getting back. It's about fulfilling that voice. It's about fulfilling a dream. Helping others always helps ourselves. And getting to that place is really a, it's just great for everyone. And this book really helps you do it. Again, it's The Promise of a Pencil, How an Ordinary Person Can Create Extraordinary Change. It is an extraordinary book. I mean, this is just a wonderful book that everyone should get. And certainly it has done very well. And your organization has done very well. What countries are you in? You've done 200 schools so far. In what countries?
Yeah, that's correct. So we focus in Latin America, Asia, and Africa. Mm. And so we've worked in Asia is where we started in Laos, and then moved over to Latin America, where we're in Guatemala and Nicaragua, and then expanded over to Africa, and so we're in Ghana. Wonderful. There. And we build schools, we train teachers, and we provide scholarships to students to progress past our primary schools and into secondary schools.
And education makes all the difference in the world. And for those kids that don't have it, you really see, I mean, you've been well educated, you went to Brown University, all of that, but these kids haven't even been educated in how to read a book. I mean, you know, they're starting very, you know, with the basics, and it's just a wonderful thing. Yeah. I mean, this is a necessary thing in this world to do. It's, you know, how we will feed ourselves, how we will take care of ourselves. It's just essential. You have done a wonderful job with this book, a wonderful job with your organization, and thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's terrific. Everybody, this is a wonderful book. Definitely go to Shannon's Corner. Click on the websites. And again, it's The Promise of a Pencil, How an Ordinary Person Can Create Extraordinary Change. It is just a terrific book. He's done a wonderful thing. Certainly Pencils for Promise is a wonderful organization. Education, as everyone knows who listens to me, is the most important thing we can do. So we have to, I hear that dog. Gosh, I love dogs too. We have to wrap it up for today. But I thank you all for joining us here on WTBQ. And until next time, and by the way, everything is on Shannon's Corner, so you can go there. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.